And we're all called to love God and love people. That kind of pure and simple devotion only expresses itself best when we've received the Holy Spirit. A lot of people try to live the Christian life talking about the Holy Spirit, but not receiving the Holy Spirit. And you just end up hitting your head on a glass ceiling when you try to live the Christian life that way. It was never meant to be lived that way. If we haven't received the Holy Spirit, we'll find ourselves being better at judging sins than forgiving sins. If we haven't received the Holy Spirit, we'll present a mean and angry God rather than the good news God. If we haven't received the Holy Spirit, we may do a lot of things, but we'll end up getting the glory rather than people seeing us and giving Him the glory. It's so important to receive the Holy Spirit. So he told them, receive the Holy Spirit, forgive sins, preach the good news, be his witnesses. And in one sense, the disciples kind of stumbled and bumbled their way into that next part of their journey. Now, I wholeheartedly acknowledge that it's much easier to do the play-by-play than it is to actually play the game. And I have no illusion that any of us would have done it any better than what these guys did it. But in another sense, as the disciples launched into this next phase of their life, really, what their efforts and their experience were about was timing and process. On Easter day one, when Jesus showed up in that closed, locked room, they were dealing with shock. They were dealing with trauma. They were dealing with fear. And although Jesus told them many times what was going to happen to him, none of them had understood that or comprehended that. 8 days later, they're still stuck in unbelief. And so Thomas and the other disciples present there that night, Jesus did some spiritual circumcision, told them, stop doubting and believe. And then a month later, they were trying to do that. They were trying to walk that out, but something was missing. Peter initiated a fishing trip. They didn't catch anything all night. Jesus met them the next morning, sent them back out. There was a miraculous catch, and the momentum of their lives took a decidedly upward turn after breakfast with Jesus on the beach that day. Over the next 10 days, they had more encounters with the risen Lord Jesus. And then on the 40th day after Jesus' resurrection, Jesus had them on a Galilean mountainside, and he gave them what we commonly refer to as the Great Commission. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. In Luke 24, Luke adds this commentary. When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and he blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. And then they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple praising God. You got your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 1. As we look at Acts, the same man who wrote the Gospel of Luke wrote Acts, Dr. Luke. And right off the bat in his sequel to his Gospel, Luke gave us some more background plus an extended version of what happened on that day Jesus ascended, on the 40th day after his resurrection. Luke 1, beginning with verse 1. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his sufferings, he showed himself to these men, gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it's not for you to know the times and the dates my Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And after he said this, he was taken up before their eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. And the Spirit and the bride say, come, Lord Jesus, come. I mean, I think those guys showed up and said, okay, you've got your orders. Quit looking at the sky. Get to work. He's going to come back that way, but it's time to get to work. And here were their instructions. Do not leave Jerusalem. Wait for the promised gift. You'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit, and you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. So they went back to Jerusalem. They went back to the upper room. But this time when they went back there, instead of fear and closed doors, they went back with expectancy. And they joined together constantly in prayer. The they consisted of the disciples, other followers, the women, Jesus' mother Mary, Jesus' brother, all together. There's about 120 of them that were starting to meet together in this upper room and meeting there day after day from that 40th day. A restored and healed Peter stepped into his place as leader. And now the fruit of the time when Jesus, after he was risen from the grave, he visited the disciples and said, and he opened their minds so that they could understand Scripture. The fruit of that is on full display because Peter starts quoting from the Psalms. This educationally challenged fisherman is quoting from the Psalms, quoting from the Scriptures to say, hey, look, Jesus chose 12 of us. Judas betrayed and Judas is gone. The Scriptures are clear. We've got to have 12 of us. And so they picked a couple that had been with them for the whole time. They set them apart, draw lots, and Matthias was chosen to join the 12 in their apostolic ministry. Now, before we continue the story, I just want to share a few things to consider. First, I think we should live every day astounded by God's love and mercy. He simply refuses to treat us as we deserve to be treated. And his perfect unconditional love just keeps flowing out to us day after day after day. And who can understand God's sovereignty? He's resolutely established in who he is, completely confident in his plan and his purpose, and yet at the same time, wholly committed to our free will choice. And because of that, he understands more than we ever will the necessity of patience and timing. Ecclesiastes 3 says there's a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. It's a time for this and a time for that. And God has made everything beautiful in its time. And he also set eternity into the hearts of people, yet we cannot understand what God has done from the beginning to the end. In order to help us understand that, God sent Jesus, the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of his being, the Word made flesh, the Word came and dwelt among us. He was tempted in every way, just as we are, but was without sin. So he's able to sympathize with our weaknesses. And in our time of need, he says, come, come to me with confidence. Now, Jesus was the ultimate teacher. And in his time with the disciples, he was doing all he could to prepare them for the days to come and the things that they would face. He shared as much as he could share with them. But on the night before he was arrested, he shared with them this, I have much more to say to you. I've got much more to say to you. But it's more than you can bear right now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He'll speak what he hears. He'll tell you what's to come. He'll bring glory to me by taking from what's mine and making it known to you. Then on the night of Easter day one, in that upper room with closed locked doors, he showed up. Disciples were panicked. He said, peace be with you. They're still not quite settled, so he said to them again, peace be with you. He said, as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. And then Scripture says, he breathed on them and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. He breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Something spiritual happened in that moment. You don't have the living Word of God breathing on you and telling you to receive the Holy Spirit and there not be a spiritual transaction take place. But it was not the full release of the baptism of the Spirit. It wasn't the full release of the gift. That was still 53 days away. He was preparing them for something. He was getting them ready to receive. The Greek word is lambano. It's a prolonged form of a primary verb. It's an action verb. It means to take and very... There we go. In very many applications, literally, figuratively, objectively, and actively, to get hold of. Lambano, receive. Lambano, the Holy Spirit. Receive. It's a command. Receive the Holy Spirit. It's also a choice. The Amplified says receive, admit the Holy Spirit. Listen to what the word admit means. And think about this in terms of the Holy Spirit. To allow to enter. To grant or afford entrance to give right or means of interest to permit, to exercise a certain function, to allow or concede as valid, to give access to leave room for. It's from the Latin word to let come. Receive the Holy Spirit. He breathed on them on that first night, Easter day one. He was preparing them for the next level. He breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Now look what happened 50 days later, Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. And suddenly a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. So, on the morning of the 10th day into don't leave Jerusalem until, they got breathed on again. Suddenly, even though it was Shavuot, they were not expecting it to happen that day. They were just waiting. They were just worshiping. They were preparing with expectancy. He had told them to wait. The gift is coming. The power is coming. Wait. And so they were waiting. And suddenly a sound, that Greek word for sound, can mean a loud, confused noise. It can also mean an echo. Can also mean a roar. On that morning, the Lion of Judah roared, and it sounded like a blowing of a violent wind. Now, I find it interesting that when Jesus showed up on the planet, after prophecy and scripture, years and years, hundreds and thousands of years of prophecy about a Messiah coming, when Jesus showed up on the planet, I mean, it was about as covert as you can get. Yeah, Bethlehem was packed full of people, but they got there in the middle of the night, couldn't find a room for him to stay, found a little stable in the back alley somewhere, and there the Word became flesh. Jesus entered the earth. It would have been completely covert, except the angels couldn't take it. And so the angels broke out and had a hallelujah chorus out over a shepherd's field, let the shepherds in on it, and they came and found out. But for the most of the world, when the Word became flesh, he snuck in. The Holy Spirit made a bigger entrance than that. The Holy Spirit chose first thing in the morning, right after breakfast and your first cup of coffee, Jerusalem packed with people, with Jews from all over the world celebrating Shavuot there that day. And on that morning, the sound came and it drew them and it filled the room. Look at verse 3. And they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each one of them in the room. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled him. So after the sound filled the house, then came the fire. Tongues of fire that separated. And as they came to rest on each person in that room, another suddenly took place. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. And they came out of their mouths. They came to speak languages they had never spoken before. The languages of the world were flowing out from them. Now, this word is glossolalia. It's a different manifestation of tongues than the prayer language that we talk about a lot. And I encourage you to press in for and have. We need to be able to pray in our mind and in the spirit. We need to pray both ways. But this is a different word. This is the literal speaking of other languages. This is a different word for tongues than the public speaking of tongues that happens in a meeting where someone will stand up and speak out in a tongue and then there's an interpretation that takes place. Although prayer languages and the public speaking of tongues can be actually other known languages. I've been in meetings where somebody gave a public tongue like that, and someone in the back stood up and said, I'm from Korea, and that is perfect Korean, what they just spoke, and here is what they said. And the person who spoke it didn't know Korean. I was in a meeting in Nicaragua. We were praying with pastors, and other leaders there, and we just got in a big circle. There was probably 70 or 80 of us, and we just started praying in the Spirit together, and you could feel it amping up. And then one of the men in the middle, just started raising his voice and making these incredible declarations in English, but he didn't know English. His tongues was English. That was pretty cool for the English-speaking guys that were there. So sometimes it can work that way, but what's happening here specifically is that they're getting the languages of the known world, because Jews from the whole known world were gathered there in Jerusalem at that time. And out of their mouths came this gift of languages, and they were speaking it. Now, here's some really, really good news. What happened in the upper room didn't stay in the upper room. That's good news, isn't it? Verse 5. Now, they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. And when they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one of them heard them speaking in his own language. So the sound of the wind, but also the sound of the languages being simultaneously spoken, drew a crowd. And so then in verse 7, utterly amazed, they ask, are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia and Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. In the languages of the world, the 120 were declaring the wonders of God. Verse 12, amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, what does this mean? Some of them, however, made fun and said, they've had too much wine. So as this sound draws the crowd, as these languages declaring the wonders of God draws the crowd, some go, what does this mean? Others are going, oh, they've had too much wine. Listen, when the Holy Spirit shows up today, it creates the same reactions. There's receivers and resistors inside and outside the church. It's still the exact same way. The same way it happened this day, it still happens today. And the encouragement from Scripture for us is to be receivers of the Holy Spirit. Verse 14. Then Peter stood with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I have to say. So now from the balcony of the upper room, there's Peter and the other 11 disciples, Matthias now filling out the group, a dozen of them standing there, standing together. And Peter launched into his first recorded sermon. Picture yourself there in the crowd and listen to what Peter said that day. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I'll pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I'll show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. David said about him, I saw the Lord always before me. Because he's at my right hand, I'll not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will live in hope, because you will not abandon me to the grave. Nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You've made known to me the paths of my life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. Brothers, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet, and he knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was ahead, he spoke to the resurrection of Christ. And he was not abandoned to the grave, nor did his body see decay. God raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of that fact. exalted to the right hand of God. He has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. I remember there was a season in our lives where we were listening to a lot of scripture tapes, and just pop them on. It tells you the season it was because they were scripture tapes, not CDs. And but we were playing them over and over, and I was on a long trip, and I was just playing through. And the same thing happened to me that was just happening to you. It's just reading scripture straight out, and you're going, yeah, that's right, that's right. It just straight out of the word, just like that. And, you know, these are pretty powerful, anointed words. It's a pretty good rookie fisherman preaching job being done right there, you know. I mean, just really well-phrased words for any audience, but especially for the Jewish audience that was there. And so in verse 37, it says, when the people heard what he had just said, what I just shared with you, they were cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The anointing of the Holy Spirit created a profound sense of conviction, a sense of conviction that demanded a response. What should we do? What should we do? They were asking. The people, they didn't know what they needed to do, but from deep inside, they knew they needed to do something. Even right now, some of you, maybe who are just hearing these for the first time or hearing it read in completion like that for the first time, feeling the same thing inside yourself. There's something we need to do, something I need to do. And Peter told him three things to do. Repent, be baptized, and receive the Holy Spirit. On the other side of receiving forgiveness of sins, be baptized and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Verse 39. This promise is for you, and it's for your children, and it's for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. And with many other words, he warned them, and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. And those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Everyone was and is qualified and invited into this life-changing relationship. Our response is the only, is important. Our response is key. The invitation is there, but our response is key. Our response to say yes to repentance, our response to say yes to being water baptized, our response to say yes to receiving the Holy Spirit is the only way to save ourselves from this, as the King James would say, this untoward generation. We live in a world that is turned away from God. But there's another way to live. The Amplified says, be saved from this crooked, perverse, wicked, unjust generation. The Message Bible says, get out while you can. Get out of this sick and stupid culture. And I want to tell you and proclaim to you this morning, every one of us has the opportunity to live that way and to do that. We have the opportunity to be in the world, but not of the world, if we will receive the Holy Spirit. 3,000 accepted Peter's message that day. 3,000 were baptized that day. And the church went from 120 to 3,120 in a day. And it really is the birthday of the modern church. And suddenly there was a community of faith and fellowship that just kept growing. Look at verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of the bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods. They gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So in this first expanded fellowship of believers, there were relationships, there was awe, there were signs and wonders. There was a breaking of the bondage of a lifestyle and culture that was built on what's in it for me. There was a different way to live. They were sharing their lives together, sharing their abundance and their resources, meeting each other's needs. Sounds a lot like impact to me. King James Version says they continued daily in one accord. And because of that, they experienced the commanded blessing that comes with that kind of unity. And they were meeting in the temple courts, and they were meeting in their homes, and they had meals together, and they had times of worship, and there were times of teaching. And the favor of all people was on them. And that translated into new converts every day. Now check this out. On the very day that Jews had gathered in Jerusalem from all over the world to celebrate Shavuot. Shavuot is the day when they celebrate when God gave Moses the Torah, the law, the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai. That's what they were celebrating. Now check this out. God, with his incredible sense of timing, with his incredible sense of wisdom, introduced to the world on the day they celebrated the law was given to them. On that very day, on the morning of that day, he introduced to them the law of the Spirit of life that sets us free from the law of sin and death. On the same day, and with a roar, he broke the power of condemnation forever. He broke the power of condemnation. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Any place in our lives where condemnation shows up is a place we need to open up to the Holy Spirit. The law of the Spirit of life has set us free from the law of sin and death. There is no more condemnation. So when you feel condemnation, don't beat yourself up about feeling condemned. That's exactly what it wants you to do. When you feel condemnation, turn quickly and say, more of you, Lord, more of your Spirit, more of your life. In this area where I'm feeling this, more of you. That's the answer. That's the solution. The power of condemnation has been broken. On Pentecost, a new door opened for all who receive the Holy Spirit. To receive the Holy Spirit is a choice. To receive the Holy Spirit requires repentance. Sometimes it's a turning away from sin. Sometimes it's the turning away from your ignorance. Just not knowing the Holy Spirit was even real or available. Receive the Holy Spirit requires repentance. Receive the Holy Spirit opens the door to brand new experiences. But we have to change our minds. Water baptism is an important step. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is another beautiful experience. And then learning to live and breathe and move in the power of the Holy Spirit is an incredible journey, a journey of dialogue and discovery. Listen, Jesus still has more to say to every one of us than we can bear right now. He's still got more to say to us than we can bear. He's written these words in this book. We've got these stories. You've heard hundreds of sermons. There's hundreds of books. He has more to say to you than you can bear right now. But the solution is to receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is just waiting for our reception. He's just waiting for us to admit him. He's just waiting for our receptivity. The Holy Spirit is God's voice on the planet today. And he is not mute. He's still speaking. He has many things to tell us. He still guides us into truth. He still takes one from what's Jesus and makes it known to us. He even loves to give it away. He likes to tell us what's coming in advance. He's the voice of God on the planet today. Receive the Holy Spirit isn't a one and done deal. Yeah, there is a time when it happens the first time, when you receive him. But receive the Holy Spirit is meant to be an active, ongoing, daily relationship, an active, ongoing experience. Receive the Holy Spirit's meant to be an active, ongoing adventure. It's the way life is meant to be lived. Receive the Holy Spirit. Receive him when he's just a whisper of a still small voice. Receive him when it's just like something just blows to you in the wind. You didn't know where it came from, where it goes. But there's the Spirit guiding you. Receive him when he roars over you with his life. Receive the Holy Spirit when you're broken. He's the comforter. Receive the Holy Spirit when you don't know which way to go or what to do. He's the counselor. Receive the Holy Spirit when you feel discouraged. He's the encourager. Receive the Holy Spirit when you just don't know even what know what to ask for. He's the teacher. He's the guide. Receive the Holy Spirit. Don't fear the flame of God. Don't fear the fire of God in your life. Welcome the fire. Welcome the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Welcome the loosing of the gifts. Welcome the loosing of the boldness that comes as the Holy Spirit is vibrant and active and alive and we are connected with Him. Receive the Holy Spirit. He really is the gift that just keeps on giving. Let's stand together. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That in your wisdom, not only did you send Jesus, but after Jesus, you have poured out the Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We just say right now, just say, I receive the Holy Spirit. We receive you. We receive you, Holy Spirit. Receive new places, new things that you desire to us. New wisdom, new revelation, deeper love, more passion, more zeal, more humility, more peace, more patience, more kindness, more goodness, more faithfulness, more gentleness, more self-control. All that that comes as your life intermingles with ours. We sang it earlier, set a fire in us that we can't contain, that we can't control. Lord, forgive us. Forgive us for, well, we just take this much of you. We want all of you. We want all, Lord, forgive us for putting a lid on, okay, well, I'll do this for God, but I won't do that. We just say, Lord, we want all of you. All that you've done, the highest purposes for our lives, the most, the fullest expression of who you've created us to be, the fullest releasing of what you've created us to do. And it's only possible as we keep receiving and receiving and receiving the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you're welcome in this place. You are welcome in this place. Have your way in each of our lives. Have your way among us. We bless you, Lord. We thank you. Thank you for your desire to fill people like us. Thank you for your desire to partner with people like us. Thank you for your passion and your plan to use people like us to loose your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Holy Spirit, we love you. We love you. Keep renewing our minds. Keep transforming us by the renewing of our minds. Break off religiosity and things that would cause us to think less of the Holy Spirit than we ought to think. Break off the contamination of the world that would cause us to be more fascinated in things that don't even relate to Him, that are against Him. Break off any agreement inside of us, even generationally, with an Antichrist spirit that would oppose the anointing, that would oppose the loosing of your spirit. Even right now, break it off inside of us in Jesus' name. That we could run with you into our destiny, into our future with confidence and joy. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Amen. You know, Jesus said when he was here that it was better for him to go. In fact, he said, you got to let me go so I can send the Holy Spirit. There's a great percentage of the church that has such a tight grip on Jesus that they can't receive the Holy Spirit. But we're supposed to have the whole package. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And in each of our lives, if you've been in the church at all, there is still some of that that will resist everything the Spirit wants to do. And so I just want to exhort us again, get out while you can of that kind of living and get into the real life in the Spirit.